Welcome to the Centre Square podcast on Sport FM 91.3, your football headquarters. I'm Bray Loveridge. On today's show, we preview the semi-final week, plus with all our tips, in strife, sports quiz, the Q&A with our special guests, and of course, all the news through the week. And boys, Noah Tonkin and Ethan Roth, join me. Boys, how are we?
Yeah, I'm not bad. How are you, Rothy?
Yeah, it's good to be here. Good to be back for semi-final week.
Yeah, of course. Our special guest, of course, pick 7 in the 2007 AFL draft. 123 games in the AFL at three clubs, Fremantle, GWS and Carlton. Won the 2008 Rising Star Award and the 2008 AFL's Player Association's Best First Year Player. Reece Palmer, welcome.
G'day, lads. Thanks for having us.
How are you?
I'm going good.
Yeah, that's good. But anyway, we're going to get into the questions. So, Noah, I'll hand it over to you.
Yep, first question, which me and Rothy have made up. So, how was growing up? You played for Bull Creek Lehman Junior Football Club. Did you always know you would get picked up in the draft as high as you did?
Yeah, I had a pretty good childhood. Lived and breathed all sorts of sport. Actually played state baseball and like did athletics for WA as well, and also did karate for about 10 years. So footy was always number one, though. I loved it from the day I remember. I still remember Dad bringing home a footy, and I actually was sick from school that day. Sick.
Yeah.
And he brought it home, and then all of a sudden I perked up, and he was like, oh, I thought you were sick. So that was a good memory, but yeah, always like asking everyone to have a kick with me, and spent all my days outside and having a kick. So obviously it wasn't until, you know, 16, 17, 18 when you realise that you might have some talent, might be able to take it to the next level. But in terms of being passionate about footy, it was always my number one.
Yeah, because like I suppose a lot of players, they start, you know, 16, 17, and then when they get to 18, it's like a massive transition. So like, you know, it's just hard. I suppose it would have been hard going from such like local, just playing footy for fun, and then actually having it as a job.
Yeah, and it happens pretty quickly, I guess. When you're 16, I was playing Colts for East Fremantle. I was probably wasn't developed into, you know, I was still a pretty young kid, so I was all right. I was there about, but nothing too special. And then I guess what was the turning point for me? I played under 16 state, and then under 18 state as a underager. So I played when I was 17, and it probably wasn't until the next year that I fully came on and developed a bit more and took it pretty seriously. Off-field was pretty strict at that time, that age of mine. I sort of, you know, was making all the right decisions, and I guess my footy sort of paid dividends for it, and lucky enough to have a good 18s carnival, and was playing league as a 17-year-old for East Fremantle and played some good games. So sort of then that's when I sort of worked out that hopefully I was going to get drafted and make a career of it.
Because we've done our research, and I saw something, it's like one of the games in the carnival, we got like 32 disposals, 3 goals or something. So
I think it was 35-5. 35-5 against Vic Metro. They were touted as, they had Trent Cotchin, Cruiser. Yeah, yeah. They had all the big guns there, and we came out and we smoked them by, I think, 100 points on that day. And it was a pretty surreal day because obviously I played, sort of knew I had a sort of good game, but like it wasn't until after the game when there was like my first experience with media were there.
Yeah.
And it was before a Fremantle Dockers game, so I had a lot of recruiters there and a lot of family there. And it was just like, and then that night I remember being at home and like on the news, it just like flashed like 18's kind of like had replay of it. And I was just like, what the hell is going on? So it was such a good memory like growing up and obviously that happening. So obviously very blessed and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, so speaking of the Fremantle Dockers, I'm not sure if you know, but two out of the three of us are actually Freo supporters. So I hope you do say Freo. But if you had to pick the club out of the three most being enjoyed being at most, who would it be? And yeah, who was the most professional, I guess?
Yeah, it's weird when people ask me that all the time because I did, you know, was at three clubs over the career. And early days, you sort of take it for granted. Obviously got picked up at number 7 and went straight to Freo. So nothing really changed for me. The only thing was I was playing an elite level football and I was still living at home, still having the same mates. So sort of looking back on, I can't really remember too much because it was so long ago now and I was such a young kid. And you get thrown into this environment where it's such a professional and elite level that you're still trying to work it all out. So Freo was awesome. Obviously playing around my family and friends was really cool every weekend. And but I probably didn't appreciate it as playing as much as I got to the Giants. Obviously, had a good first year. Then a couple of years after that at Freo, I was sort of in and out of the side, struggling with form and obviously injuries. And then you sort of, you know, then you appreciate every time you do chuck on the jumper because you know how hard you've worked to get that, and it just didn't come easy. As when I was 18, 19, I sort of just, you know, I was playing and was everything was too easy.
Yeah. So, because obviously that was 2007, 2008, 2009, so the influence, I guess, of social media wouldn't have been as big as it is now, but how did you deal with, like, you know, social media? And there would have been a lot of criticism, I guess, but as well as some high.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so Instagram obviously wasn't around. I don't think Instagram came onto 2015, so sort of played 7-8 years without that. But obviously the cameras were around, and, you know, like, WA media is really good when you're playing well. You can see the Dockers, like, you know, they have a few bad games. Well, they beat Geelong 1 week and then they lost to St Kilda away.
Yeah.
The following week, can you see him jump all over the coach, and subsequently, you know, the coach gets fired, and you see Eagles at the moment. The WA media love the Eagles, but I'm sure, you know, they're one bad game away from everyone being on top of them. So, look, it was interesting, and it did get, it was a bit full on when it came to, like, 2010, 2011, especially when there's rumours of me leaving to go to the startup club of the Giants, and the media sort of got hold of that, and I hadn't signed, and sort of in and out of the side. And that's when Mark Harvey was there as well. And I guess our relationship didn't really break down, but probably wasn't as smooth as I would have liked it. And so I sort of put up my hand and sort of said at the end of the 2011 season that I was moving on. And then a couple of days later, Mark Harvey got the flick as well. Yeah. So happened pretty fast.
Ross the Boss came in.
Exactly right.
Obviously, it was a very successful career with 123 games. With some high accolades. How did you see your career overall, and are you proud, and did you have any regrets from your AFL career?
Yeah, obviously really proud. I know, like, I still played with some such better talent, even like Anthony Morabito, who played, you know, that first season was a crack and then never got back on the park just due to injury. So my first season was really good, and then done my ACL, which put me back 12 months. And in hindsight, probably it does alter your body in terms of the way you move. And so, you know, that was really frustrating dealing with not only the knee, but so many injuries along the way. So I know I played 123 games, but I couldn't imagine the amount of games that I actually missed through injuries. So that's pretty frustrating. And, you know, everyone wants to win a Brownlow and play in a flag, but realistically that doesn't happen. So, you know, I am really proud of my career and would have loved to do so many more things, but realistically it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I'm still happy
well,
with it.
123 games, pretty good. I mean, us three are probably lucky to play one, to be honest. So, But what was the hardest training session and worst spray that you did cop, if there are any other bad sprays?
Yeah, there's been a few over the years. Probably to the toughest training sessions. I just remember we used to do these Saturday morning wrestling sessions. And growing up, I love running. So we used to do, you know, numerous amounts of 400s, 800s, 1Ks. And obviously they're hard, but nothing compared to the wrestling. So we used to do these tackling sessions, and at the time I was wrestling people like Desi Headland and Anthony Grover, all these big, like, human beings, Sean McManus, not small blokes. So, and I was only 19, 20 year old.
What about Sandy?
I wasn't wrestling him, thank God. He was too big for everyone. So, but I was wrestling, I remember these Saturday morning sessions, they used to go for about an hour and a half. And it was honestly the worst thing. Your head would just be like throbbing from like getting whiplash and getting tackled all the time. And I remember one day Desi Headland snapped his finger and he literally just taped it up. The doctors put it in the back of the place, taped it up, and he just got straight back in.
That's
how intense these sessions were.
Yeah. Was that just in pre-season or?
Yeah, so we just used to do it all pre-season. So it'd be the worst 5 months of my life. So, but it wasn't too bad. What was the other question?
Worst spray you copped?
Worst spray. Well, probably the worst spray was from Leon Cameron. I'm not sure if you guys remember, I was running into an open goal square and I had a bounce.
Yeah.
I had a bounce and I literally saw my career flash before my eyes. I probably should have given the handball to Josh Kelly, who was running in, and he sort of went to Shepherd, and I sort of like hesitated a little bit, and then I just...
That was against Port, right?
Yeah. Port, yeah. So lucky I went to have a bounce, and then it sort of... I sort of looked behind me at the same time, bounced on my head and went back to grab it, missed it, and it was a bloody disaster.
So what year was that?
That was probably 2014, but lucky then I ran off the field, got the ultimate spray from Leon's, like, you selfish prick, did the handball. But lucky I went back on the field and I kicked 5 that day, so I had a bit of a good influence. I'm not sure what happened. It was sort of a bit of a blur that night because I went from the lowest point to one of the highest points of my career.
Good beat the power. Can't stand the power, so...
Yeah. Next question was, outside of footy, you love getting down to the beach, as we've seen from your Instagram, for a surf. And So how often do you do that?
Yeah, try and get down there all the time. So something that I loved about Sydney was the beaches as well. Melbourne, not so much because there's no beaches, but Perth, we have, I reckon, the best beaches in the world. Been lucky enough to travel a long way, but a lot of places, and still to this day, I think our Perth beaches are amazing. I surf a lot, which holds me in good stead. Surfing for me is like running off the footy field and having 30 and your team do well and win the games. It's that same euphoria feeling. So I love getting out in the water, and lucky enough, got a little boat that like to get at the Rotto, and I think we've got some beautiful bays that we can pull into. So yeah, it's definitely one of my hobbies and things I'll keep doing forever.
Yeah, how many times a week do you reckon you get down, like, during the season? Like, was it, like, a ritual, like, every week just to, like, try and even mentally just prepare yourself for the game?
Or? Yeah, so obviously the coaches didn't really like us surfing in,
oh, really?
Through the seasons, because obviously injuries and stuff like that, people have been hurt surfing.
Connor Blakely.
I was going to say Connor Blakely. Didn't he hurt himself?
I think it was, like, a
missed a meeting.
Oh, that's right. He was like injured.
Sick or something. Or
and
injured,
then he went surfing.
And he went surfing and he got caught out.
So. Exactly right. So it's one of those things that you got to, obviously, you want to get away from footy and obviously whatever else is going on and get in the water and freshen up. But you got to, find the line that that everyone's happy with.
Yeah. So obviously finishing up in the AFL at the end of 2017, I believe. Heading back to the Waffle Swan Districts for a year, what was the, I guess, trigger behind that, and how was that?
Yeah, I sort of I finished up, and I still had actually another year on my contract at Carlton. It's pretty well known that me and Brendan Bolton didn't really get along, the coach at the time. I just thought that some of his coaching methods weren't right, and he dropped me for a game. I only played the one game, but I did win the one game, so I got a 100% record at Carlton that not many other people have. We won. I got injured like 20 minutes in the game. I hurt my knee, and then I came off for 20 minutes for a concussion. I think I had like 15, and so I did okay, and we won the game, and then he sort of dropped me, and it was just like the lame excuse.
Yeah.
And it was just, he was trying to play the younger boys, and I was 27 or 28, and he just made up some excuse,
yeah.
And I just said...
Brendan Bolton, there's been actually a lot of, like, I suppose you'd say controversy, because he's, like, one of the only coaches that hasn't actually played at the highest level to, senior coach, so...
Exactly right.
Yeah,
that's what sort of my argument was. I was like,
how
are you trying
saying,
to tell me what
not,
to do when you haven't played the game?
Not saying that you can't because you haven't been there, but it's just, like, you don't see it that much.
Exactly right. So we had a bit of a disagreement. I didn't finish off the year well. We sort of came to agreement to finish up footy at Carlton. And I, to tell you the truth, I had enough of sort of the politics and that sort of lifestyle. I wasn't enjoying Melbourne either. And I wanted to get home. But footy was still a passion for me. So I still wanted to play at the highest level. And I found myself at Swan Districts. And, yeah, it was a great year. We probably didn't finish off the year as much as well as we liked. But it was still enjoyable. But I guess... Waffle level these days is right up there. It's we played the state game where we beat South Australia,
yeah,
and it's
that.
A really high level. So it's a great competition.
Braised Swan Districts fan,
yeah.
Just saying, let you know.
From out that way.
So I think that's it for our questions. We'll come back to the Q&A later. But Noah, I believe you've got In Strife for this week.
Yep, In Strife, pretty much a segment where we name anyone in the sporting industry which is in strife. And for this week, I had the AFL MRP for giving Toby Green only a fine. I thought that deserved a suspension.
Yeah. If it was a regular season game, I think he would have got two weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I suppose it's good for the fans. He does get to play on Saturday night. So yeah.
I think the AFL sort of give a bit of leeway through the finals because you don't want your best player. You don't want the competition's best players. Not playing, even the Nick Natanui one, when I first saw that, I thought that was a weak show
away.
Yeah, it
wasn't a good look,
Even though he did get his hair pulled, but he definitely threw merit into the fence. So I thought that was a weak, but I'm glad that the AFL are throwing out the fines instead of the game suspensions because, like I said, you want the players playing.
Yeah, as you said, you want the best players playing in the big games. And the next In Strife was Geelong. They could be going out in straight sets, which would be the first team in 35 years to finish top of the ladder and go out in straight sets.
That's interesting. I think we'll get into the tips, but it would be bad for them. They've finished top of the ladder, I guess, for a reason. But they sort of are in strife heading into this week.
The next one was Brisbane as well. They also could be going out in straight sets after that game at the Gabba, which I thought they'd win.
Inexperience.
But
when was the last time that both top and second place sides go out in straight sets.
That'd be interesting.
But I don't know. I'm worried for Brisbane. I think they might get done by Giants. But something tells me about Geelong that they've got a pretty mature side. They've got some superstars in there. So you just don't know. And although Eagles have got a good travelling record the last couple of matches, before that they weren't too flash over in Melbourne. So who knows?
And the last in strife was England's cricket team and fans. Obviously, Australia retained the Ashes.
Up the Aussies.
And, thanks to Steve Smith, really. But the fans pretty much just booing him and David Warner every chance they got.
So. Yeah, well, they enjoyed it, the Aussies. So they should. They do deserve it. They've had a lot of hard time over the last 12 to 18 months, I guess you could say. So, yeah. But
I don't mind that. I think that's spurring the Aussies on, getting booed. And
I suppose it is, like, raises the...
Did you see the video clip where Dave Warner was walking down somebody yelled out, "Hey, Warner, you cheat," and he's turned around and said, "Woo!" So, like, I think maybe it's spurring it on.
And in the song when they were singing the unofficial song when Australia won, Steve Smith had those, like, clear glasses on. I think he was, like, trying to make fun of Jack Leach, the spinner.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
But, yeah.
Yep, I'll hand over to Bray for the tips of the semi-final round.
Yeah, of course, we have two pretty big games this weekend. We'll start it off Friday night, Geelong and West Coast at the MCG, and of course the winner will go through to play Richmond at the G on the following Friday night, I'd assume. There is a little bit of a injury with Mitch Duncan, I believe, with a knee problem there.
Yeah,
he
won't play, so he's on his knee.
Yep, so...
Was that an MCL, was it ACL, or was it just a bit of a tweak?
I don't think it was an ACL, but I think they're hopeful he can get back if they do make the preliminary or grand final. But I think for that game, I don't like the Eagles, but I'm gonna have to tip them. I just think they'll go through to the prelims.
Yeah, I watched them last Thursday night, and they looked bloody slick against Essendon. Yeah. Like I said before, I think I have a funny feeling about Geelong. Yeah. I can't see them getting knocked out in straight sets again because they've had such a bad record the last 11 years. But, geez, they're hard to tip against the West Coast, aren't they?
I'm going to have to back West Coast. Just watching them on Thursday night, it's really hard to go against them and just how well they were playing.
Even in Melbourne,
That was Nick Nat.
Yeah. That ruck work was just elite. And, Bray, your tip?
Yeah, I'm going West Coast as well.
He's backing in his side.
Yeah. Should win probably by at least 2 goals, I think. Because they have won every game except for the Richmond game over there this year. And that was only a goal of difference in a wet game. So, yeah, I have to back them. So,
what was their record before? Remember they had that record? So I think they've won the last, four or five?
Five or six, I think.
Apart from that Melbourne-Richmond game. But before that, they didn't win for like 12 games or something like that. So.
I reckon it's because of Optus feeling very similar to the size.
The effect.
Good call.
Yeah. And then Saturday night, Brisbane and GWS at the Gabba, and the winner will go through to play Collingwood on the following Saturday, I'd assume. And of course, Mitch Robinson is out, I believe.
Ripped through a podcast. He's just focusing on his podcast now.
And of course, Jordan Ngoi is in Germany with his hamstring, and Delio is out with the calf. So what do we think about this game tips wise?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to see Brisbane go down, but I also really want GWS to win. I want GWS to win, but I think Brisbane will.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think GWS, I reckon it'll be a really close game, potentially the best in this final series to date. I'm going to say GWS in a close one.
I think my beloved Giants might just knock them over here and let Brisbane go out in straight sets. And how about Deledio? He strained his calf last week's game in the first quarter and played out the game because he knew he was done for the year anyway. So,
what was he like as a teammate? Because obviously there's been a lot of talk about he's just so selfless and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I actually didn't play with him, so I went there. I left as he sort of got there. Yeah. So I was sort of in that trade little thing there that happened. But the boys love him up there. Obviously, he found it really tough because the year that he did left, Richmond won the flag, and I think he didn't miss a game at all with Richmond, and then he went to the Giants, and he has been troubled with injury. But getting back to the game, Mitch Robinson's going to be a massive loss for him. I think it was a bit disappointing.
He lost grunt to their team.
Exactly right, a bit of hardness. So I think the Giants might just get him.
Yeah, I agree. I reckon the Giants probably just get up in a good, close, hard battle. And then now, thanks to our Instagram followers out there, we've sent out the questions for you guys to answer, or no, ask Reese, and we'll ask him right now. And I'll start us off with the Freo Dokers, aka Daddy Doker. Reese, why did you betray Freo?
Why did I betray Freo? I don't think I betrayed Freo. Like I said, I sort of just touched on it before. So I think we were favourites to win the flag before the start of the season, my last 2 years at Freo. One of the seasons, I think we won 8 games, and the year after we won 6 games. So there was a massive breakdown. Mark Harvey was sort of losing his touch with the players, changing tactics weekly, and there was a bit of an exorcist. And I sort of got offered a pretty decent contract to go away, fresh start with a new team, inaugural team. And I was pretty keen to get out of WA as well at that stage. So jumped at that, and I was pretty, yeah, it's pretty obviously happy. But then, like I said, when I left, they got Ross Lyon in, and had probably the most successful period in the club's history. Yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah, next question from at AFL Memory. Who, in your opinion, is the best head coach and captain in the comp right now?
Head coach in the competition? I haven't really dealt with Alistair Clarkson, so obviously he's probably had the most success. But Leon Cameron, for me, he was instrumental in rejuvenating my career, but also not just being a coach, but being a good person. And he really has a genuine care for not only yourself, but your family. And he's a bloody legend. So I really got along really well with him. Obviously, he knew when to be hard and when to go at you. But on the flip side, he had a genuine care for him. So I got along with him really well. And I think he's had a lot of success without winning a flag and obviously getting to a grand final. But he's still a young coach. So so him for me.
So, yeah, did you play in that famous prelim?
Yeah, I did. So I was 16 points up with 4 minutes to go or something where they kicked the last 3 goals of the game, Bulldogs. So, look, there's only so much a coach can do. I know he got a bit of a flack for that in terms of, you know, he should have done this, should have done that, and that's when you could have dropped the player behind the play. But Bulldogs at that time, they kicked, 3 goals in a row to win the game off us, and then they went on to win the flag. And we beat Sydney, 2 weeks beforehand in a famous sort of qualifying final. And Bulldogs met Sydney in the grand final and smoked them. So who knows, that could have been the year that we missed, but they've still got a pretty good chance this year.
Yeah. So I know you did tip GWS beforehand, but this one's from Daily Jeremy Cameron. How deep can GWS go into the finals?
Yeah, so probably if they get over this game, they'd probably be pretty...
it'll be tough against Collingwood.
Collingwood having the week off, and obviously the Giants having to travel back to Sydney, then go back to Melbourne again. But at the same time, teams have come from outside the last couple of years, and I know the Giants boys really well, and I know they'll be pretty confident to play obviously Brisbane this weekend, but also Collingwood as well. So you just don't know in this game, do you?
Yeah, that's right. Then we have Sean Evans. What was the biggest challenge mentally in the AFL system?
Yeah, I guess the biggest challenge is you see the players on the field and you're like, oh, how good's that? Running out every weekend, playing well. But it's behind the scenes when either you're not playing well with form or you're carrying an injury. That's the hardest bit because no one sees you. You're getting up early, do your rehab training. You're there all day. You're sort of participating in what the main side's doing, but you're not really, because you're not playing at the time. So just all the injuries, and you see a lot of players that have had a lot of injuries are dealing with a lot of depression these days, and it's really good that the players are speaking up about it, because it is some tough yards and you're doing a lot of it with just one coach or maybe another boy that's injured. So it's and you're training probably just as hard, even more, because you're trying to keep your fitness up and you're doing all your extra strength stuff to get your muscle or whatever you're injured back up to scratch. So that's probably the toughest thing about AFL footy.
It's good that not only AFL but all sports organisations have these psychologists and those sort of mentors that you can talk to when you need to. So
yeah, exactly right.
Next question from at Ed Corey. A bit more of a broad question. Who are the best under 22 talent in the comp?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a great initiative by the AFL now that they do that under 22. I thought that's pretty cool. I don't know how old the boys are these days, but how old is Patrick Cribbs these days?
20.
I think he's just out of it too.
23, 24, something like that.
So I played with him for the year at at Carlton, but obviously I know him from East Fremantle. He's a great young lad, and his pure size around the contest is probably one of the best in the sort of Gary Ablett and Patrick Dangerfield these days.
The big body midfielders.
Yeah, they're hard to stop, especially for me, 181 or 182 on a good day. They're hard to stop, so I love watching him go around. But also, I think when this year he sort of changed, he's sort of a bit of an outside player now, so he can get the ball inside, but he's sort of been using his speed, and I saw some of his goals that he kicked this year, sort of breaking away from the park and kicking some nice goals, so he's definitely up there. But
Sam Walsh as well. He's a
Walsh, yeah, gun. But one player I really like is that Tim Taranto from the Giants. So I think he's only 21.
21, 22.
Yeah, so he's an absolute star.
Inside ball.
Yeah. So the next one's from Giants Talk. So this is a bit of an interesting one. When you saw Stephen Cornelio re-sign, did you feel like giving him another kiss?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened with the kiss that night. It was a pre-season game and we didn't plan it or anything, and it was just like sort of happened. Me and Cogs are a couple of good WA boys, and we do get a bit affectionate with each other, always giving each other kisses and stuff. Nah, not really. Just, a manly kiss on the cheek every now and then. And then in the game, it just happened, and we didn't sort of realise until after the game how much the media blew up and stuff. But he's a ripping kid, Cogs. He's
$7 million.
One of the most genuine guys you ever meet as well. Obviously, a superstar on the field, but off the field, he's such a good kid. I had no doubt that he was ever going to leave. I knew he was going to stay. He's our future captain. He's, like I said, a great guy, but he's a really loyal person as well. So
no, you met Cornelio, didn't you?
Yep, in Sydney. I was lucky enough to meet Cornelio. He seemed really nice from when I met him. So,
such a nice kid.
Bray, you got the next one?
Me? Harrison Cannell, I think it is.
Yeah.
Do you still enjoy watching Giants games?
Yeah, I do. I love watching the Giants play just because some of my best mates are there, but obviously I was part of that group as well. Toby Green's one of my best mates, and love watching him play, even though he pushes the boundary every now and then. Jeremy Cameron's probably the biggest freak I've ever seen in terms of gun golfer, gun table tennis player, gun at everything, and on the field he's just a superstar.
Well, I think Angus Litherland was we asked him who was the hardest opponent you came across, and he said Jeremy Cameron, like he would just demolish him, really.
Just in terms of like his athletic prowess, he's tall, strong, but he's also his footy smarts is unbelievable as well. So it's good to see him get up and win the Coleman this year with that big 9-goal haul. So that was
second
cool.
Second All-Australian, I think. He got one in like 2013.
Yeah, he got one his first year, and that was his second one. So he has had a few not rough years, but not up to his standard.
Still being like pretty consistent though, just because there's so many.
He's just had a few little injuries, nagging injuries, but I think this year you could see he was fully fit and he bloody dominated.
Yep, next question from Jack Tranto. Apologies if I pronounce your name incorrect. But he said, Reece, how's life been after footy?
Yeah, my life's been really good. Obviously, I had 10 years at the top level. I came back and played Waffle. That was really cool. I'd sort of got a bit over footy towards sort of last year. And just because you're so involved, so many meetings, so much vision, you sort of not lose interest, but, you know, it just gets too much. And obviously this year I had my car accident at the start of the year. I got hit by a car on my motorbike, and I'll probably watch more footy this year just due to the first couple of months not being able to get up and do anything. I was sitting on the couch and watching every game. So, but I've probably definitely got my passion back for it. I've had a few good little holidays the last couple of months, get away and freshen up, and I'm looking forward to playing footy next year. I'm allowed to play footy again next year. So I'm looking forward to getting more involved in it, and hopefully maybe doing some more coaching and more development work with some of the younger people, because that's where my sort of heart lies.
Yeah, so you do like real estate as well, don't you?
Yeah, so off the field, I'm involved in property, sort of been involved in property now for 10 years, my whole career, obviously. My dad was sort of involved with it, and I sort of just got a real strong passion for it. So I obviously was lucky with a few good contracts that I could sort of buy some property, and I've been living in three different states where I've sort of bought and sold and still have now. So I'm involved in that. I was doing a few sales start of the year, but obviously I had to take a break with my accident, but I'll continue that going forth.
You said earlier that you were going to play footy next year. Yep. Was that with Swans or...?
Yeah, so I just had a few meetings with Phil Smart, the general manager at Swan Districts Football Club. I'm out of contract. I had signed a two-year deal with them, so I played the first year. This year I was sort of injured, so with my accident. So I'm looking forward to hopefully going back there. They had a pretty rough year, but they blood so many young, good players. Yeah. So, and they've still got a pretty good core of older boys. Tony Knight and George Hampson was there this year. So, look, I'll be pretty keen to play there next year. I think there'll be a strong chance to win some good
there's
games.
There's been so many like, AFL talents come out of Swan Districts as well. Yeah, like so many of the young superstars have come out of there.
Yeah, I think they had a couple of Australians. Yeah. Charlie Cameron's from there.
Yeah.
Michael Waltz from there, Nick Natanui. So they've got some real talent.
Alex Rance.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Now we're getting to the sports quiz. We'll have Noah and Reese questioning
each other
in this one.
Have to say your name to answer. So it's a best of five sport quiz.
Sounds good.
On
they're all footy related today. So lucky you guys. All right. Question one: what side is the only team to have won their last six games?
Reese. Richmond?
Yes, Richmond it is.
1-0.
1-0.
I had no idea.
What two sides have kicked the most goals this season?
Reese.
Oh, no.
Giants, one of them.
Yep.
And I'm going to say Brisbane.
Wrong.
Noah. Giants, as he said. Yep. And Geelong?
No.
Can I go again?
Yeah.
Collingwood's the last one?
No.
Brisbane? No, mate, I said Richmond. Yeah. Richmond?
No, not Richmond.
Oh.
Well, West Coast, silly question.
Yeah,
well, no, you've got to do me against Angela. I'm turning it down, mate.
Do or die here. Question three. What year did Swan Districts last win their Waffle League
Reese.
Premiership?
2010.
Yep, 3-0. Unfortunately,
not. It's all right, we'll do the next.
We'll fight out.
I like this game.
I'm not a fan, not going to lie.
Question four. When was the last time a minor Premier team has won the Premiership?
AFL.
Yeah, in the AFL.
What year?
Reese. I'm going to say Geelong, 2013.
No.
Noah. I'm going to say Hawthorn, 2013.
Correct.
Yeah, last one is a who am I question.
Yep. So, I was born on the 30th of March, 1980, and grew up in Melbourne, Victoria. No, you guess you wouldn't know who it is. just say your name when you know who it is. I played 168 games for Sydney Swans and Collingwood from 1998 to 2008.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say someone else.
Keep going.
In the semi-final of 2005 against Geelong, I famously kicked four last
Reese.
Quarter goals.
I forgot his name.
Nick.
Nick.
I forgot.
Just keep reading it.
Nick Davis?
Nick Davis, that's
what
it.
What was the phrase used by the commentator?
I see it, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. they won the flag against Eagles like 2 weeks later, I think, because Leo Barry took that mark.
Mm. Yes.
So what was that? What was the score on that?
2-3.
3-2. So
3-2.
He's beaten
you. I'll take that win.
If anything else you boys want to touch on before we wrap it all up?
Any big news. I'm looking forward to semi-final week. Should be good.
Who's your tip for the flag, boys?
I said it last year, I think, but yeah, I've still gone Richmond because they won the prelim. Yeah. I thought they'd lose the prelim to Brisbane.
Yeah.
And have to do it the hard way, but yeah, I'm definitely going Richmond now easily.
Yeah, Richmond for me as well. I said it a few weeks ago.
They're in the box seat. I think it'll be Richmond Collingwood grand final, but Richmond.
Yep.
There you go.
Yourself, Reese?
It'd be good to see an outsider like a Giants, a West Coast, or a Brisbane in there, but. Look, sometimes it works not in your favour, though, when you have a couple of weeks off here and there. But I think, like you said, two Melbourne sides in the box seat.
And continuing discussions here at Centre Square Podcast, we have a bit of, not an argument, but we're just still deciding who we think is going to win the Brownlow medal. Who do you reckon will be?
I don't understand why Lachie Neal's not sort of shorter. They sort of finished second on the ladder.
He had a great year.
The only thing is, sort of with those players that have a sort of breakout year, it normally takes the following year for the umpires to start noticing them because they're the ones pulling the votes out. I still think Patrick Cripps will get a lot of votes. Even like a wild card like Tim Taranto or something, they won a lot of games. Could Jeremy Cameron win it as a forward sort of thing like that? Yeah. But
surely Nat Fife.
Fife is around the mark. Did they win enough games? There's a few games with Fife, like the Hawthorn game where they lost by 16 or 20 points, but he kicked three goals in that quarter. And So it just depends how the umpires see that. Sort of anyone's sort of shot.
You mentioned Lachie Neale, because when he was at Freo, he was sort of shadowed by Nat Fyfe, but I think even though I'm a Docker supporter, I think it was a good move for him going to Brisbane because he's now that main sort of midfielder.
Yeah, he is, but I think you can't just be the one main midfielder to win games. Yeah. Like you see Patrick Cribbs, you know, he can only do so much, but I think he's had a really well-balanced sort of side around him, and yeah, he's probably become the main midfielder, but at times when you are the main guy, you sort of get the tag or the opposition look at you, so looks like he's really enjoyed his move, so I'm not really sure what happened there with him and Ross, but it was a bit of a falling out, but he seems to come out on the bright side of it.
All right, well, as we do every episode with our special guests, we get them to sign the footy that we have.
Third
signature on the ball.
Adelaide boys.
So we'll get that done, and while that's happening, guys, make sure you're onto the Instagram and Facebook page at Centre Square Podcast, and we'll be up. You'll be kept up to date.
All
our special guests and episodes coming out. But that's all, guys. You're listening to the Centre Square Podcast on Sport FM 91.3, your football headquarters. Thanks for your company. Enjoy the rest of your day.